Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast, brought to you by Devon AI. Unlike human engineers, it can complain about TypeScript 24 hours a day, nonstop. Hey! Episode 291, R&R Explains the Dev Menu.
Hey, everybody. This is a new series to go along with our other series. We have the Real Life React Native series, and we also have the We React to News series. We like to do various different things here to mix it up, React Native Radio. But this is a new one, and we are calling it React Native Radio Explains, R&R Explains. And what we're going to do is we're going to explain how a particular React Native feature works, usually something fairly specific. Like, we're not going to go like, you know, hey, how does the entire rendering engine work? We're going to go something a little more specific than that. We read the docs, so you don't have to, but you should anyway, obviously. Go read the documentation.
Obviously, everyone's reading all the docs.
They are. Yeah. They probably have already read this. They're going to listen to this whole thing and not learn a thing. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's happening here.
I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. I'm Jamin. I'm joined, as always, by Robin and Mazin, or as I call them, Robzin.
Mobin?
Ooh. Mobin?
Mobin.
Mobin.
No, that's not bad.
I don't know.
The hosts of React Native Radio, and all of us are from Infinite Red. What is Infinite Red? We are, well, cue the sponsor. This episode is sponsored, as always, by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native consultancy located fully remote in the US and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next project, hit us up at infinite.red/react-native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. Today, we're going to explain the dev menu, also known as the debug menu. What else do you call it? It's the thing that pops up at the bottom of your screen when you shake it or whatever.
I call it the debug menu usually, but yeah. I think it's officially called the dev menu.
Yeah.
It's labeled as the dev menu.
Right.
But it's tagged on the website as the debug menu. So, yeah.
I don't think they know.
So it's not entirely clear.
That's right. And also there are three of them. We'll get into that. Unfortunately, in this case, the docs are lacking a little bit for the dev menu. Why would we talk about the dev menu? Doesn't everybody know what it does already?
I don't. I mean, like, I know the main things, but when we were prepping for this, I found stuff that I'd never seen before.
We learned a lot going through this. I think there's a bunch on here that I never used, but yeah. I could see their value.
Yeah. Maybe you'll learn about something you've never seen before and it'll bring value to your day.
A lot of them are very niche. So as we're reading and explaining these, you might be like, wait, hold on. I'm doing exactly that. This could help me out and save me time. So you're welcome.
I would like to call out that Expo has a really good overview of all the tools. As kind of is usual, Expo's docs are a little better than React Native themselves in explaining the React Native concepts. Plus, they obviously also talk about the Expo-specific stuff. So we should talk about that. There is an Expo debug menu or dev menu, and then there's just sort of like the vanilla React Native debug menu, which of course is a little different between iOS and Android. We'll talk about that. Expos adds some pretty UI along with some Expo specific things like go home, SDK version, current port, etc. Mm-hmm. So first I want to ask, how do you open this dev menu, and
what day of the week is it?
I know.
I cannot believe how many different ways there are to open this menu.
It depends on the day of the
week. Depends on the day. What
the moon. Yeah. And the sun.
Well, what happens to be in your cache at any given time? Like.
Yeah.
What?
Let's go through it.
Where's Mercury? I don't know.
All of it? Okay.
The most fun way, if you're running on a physical device, is to just shake it. Shake it like a Polaroid. Yeah.
Like a Polaroid.
Shake it like a Polaroid. No.
Wait, are you even old enough to have...
Are you kidding? This is what my, like, freshman year homecoming dance was all about.
Okay. All right. I believe you. I didn't go to my homecoming dance, so I don't know.
That's what the kids were listening to when I was in high school.
So you can shake it and it pops up. This is, by the way, only in developer mode because you don't want your users.
This will not show up in production. And then on Android emulator, you can use Command M, which is the command for shake. So it's emulating a shake gesture. That only works on the Android emulator, though. If you do that on iOS, it will minimize your simulator. So don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Also, that only works on macOS. If you're on Windows, it has to be
Control M. Control M. Yeah.
Yep. We didn't even add that one. I just thought about that. Control M.
I think the official command is Command D. Okay. But I find for that it iOS. Sometimes doesn't work on iOS. And so then the iOS simulator command for shake is Command Control Z.
Okay.
That's the keyboard shortcut. Yep.
I think it has to do with like whether your simulator is set up to accept the system keyboard shortcuts or something. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I gotcha.
Those are all default settings, right? Yeah. We're going to talk about another fun one further down, but these are all the default settings. You can probably do some key remapping to get this to work. Mm-hmm. But those are the defaults that comes with your Mac computer. For non-Expo, so this one's interesting. For non-Expo, if you're in your server terminal, so Metro, D.
You can just press D.
It'll come up. For dev menu, debug menu.
That's a relatively new development.
It didn't always listen for the keystrokes like that.
For Expo, M.
Yeah, for menu.
Because they like to be different.
Oh, for menu. Why not?
Now I'm curious what D would do in the Expo one. Looks like nothing.
Probably nothing, yeah. That's not like, because J is for something random, too.
Yeah.
There's also a terminal command with ADB, ADB for shell Android input only. Key event 82, which I think is also the shake command, so only for Android.
All right.
On a real device, you can touch what?
Three fingers to this the is device. Expo
only. I didn't know about that one.
Okay.
So they're probably wrapping a developer app Expo with a gesture to catch three touches. Yeah.
Huh. Or you can use Reactotron and make a custom command.
That's right. If you are in the Expo dev menu, you can open the React Native dev menu from there.
Yeah, you scroll to the bottom and it lets you open the React Native dev menu, the native one.
And I do think in Reactotron we should add another like a custom like button for opening the dev menu.
Because why not? Why
and
not add another way?
We should map it to a different key. Yes. We should map it to a completely different key.
I agree.
That's evil.
Key or something.
So let's talk about what's in there. First off, I think what we often are reaching for is reloading. Now, there's three different reloading concepts here.
We're back to keyboard shortcut.
There's manual reloading, which you can also use R or RR.
RR is for Android.
Android, which used to be...
It used to be Command R
for iOS.
And then the simulator added that as a screen recording.
Yeah, so I have many screen
recordings. How many
recordings? Hours? Oh, many.
Yeah, how many hours of screen recordings do you have?
I still find some.
I just found a 2-hour long one the other day.
Oh my God.
That I deleted.
Command R, didn't notice. Yeah. Why isn't it reloading? Now I'm getting a little bit better at catching it, but... So there's also hot reloading.
If you're running an old version of React Native, you might still have this, but probably not.
Yeah, way back in 2016, but that's gone in later versions, replaced with fast refresh, which is actually one of the coolest things about React Native because it tries to preserve state.
Oh, fast refresh is a React Native superpower that really puts it like a league above native development.
Above the rest.
Just save your file and your app is updated.
Yeah. Another button on the dev menu is Show Inspector. It might also be named Show Element Inspector.
Another Android.
I've noticed that they're not always
inexplicable
totally...
difference between iOS and Android.
Yeah, inexplicable differences here. Maybe an opportunity to contribute to React Native to go kind of standardize some of those things. There's a number of different tabs here. The most common one that people use is the Inspector, which allows you to tap something to inspect it. And then what does this show?
It's very similar to the Chrome inspector. If you like right click on an element in a web page and you say show source or show element or whatever, and it shows you all the padding and margin stuff. This does that. So you can see like, why does this look wonky? Like, oh, it has an extra 24 pixels of padding and you can kind of see where it's coming from.
I know for people coming from web, this is very familiar. And a lot of people that I worked with that are coming from web to React Native reach for this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They usually in web, you can change the values. Here, you can't. You can do it technically in the React DevTools, which is a whole different topic, but it just basically just spits out your styles.
Well, and it shows you, it shows you the component hierarchy too. So you can see like, oh, is this my screen component? Is this my view, my card, whatever? It'll show you the styles that are being applied to that. So very useful. This should definitely be in your arsenal.
Yeah,
totally.
Now, there are three other tabs that were kind of surprising to us in a few different ways. There's a perf tab, which I thought was going to show the same stuff as the perf monitor, the performance monitor, but it does not.
No.
It looks like a stack trace. It's not readable. It's honestly, it doesn't look useful to me at all.
It looks like it's broken.
Yeah.
It's random. I've had it where it shows a blank, like it's empty sometimes, and sometimes it just shows stuff that you almost need to be know what it's saying. I don't know. Someone at Meta probably knows what it says, and it's for them.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. There's obviously many other ways to debug performance. You have Flipper if you're still using that. You have the React DevTools, Flame Graph. You have Xcode, Android Studio, React Native Performance, all kinds of different tools. Even Reactotron has kind of a built-in performance tool that a lot of people don't know about. So there's a lot of different ways to debug performance. The next one is called Network, and it does kind of what you'd expect. It watches for network requests, and if you tap on a network request in there, like a URL, it will show you a bunch of information, like full information about it. But
it's not particularly, like, the format is not particularly useful. You can't, like, copy anything. It's not pretty, like, it's not formatted in a really readable way, but it's there.
Yeah, I mean, in a pinch, you could use it. What would you recommend using instead for network requests?
I think everyone can probably guess at this point.
It's a cool tool. I don't know. I don't know if everyone knows about it, though. Reactotron?
Have we ever mentioned it on the show? I don't think so.
I haven't. I don't think so.
Where do you see network requests in Reactotron?
Damon, here we go. Timeline. <Okay. laughs>
Right now, you see them in the timeline with all of your other logs.
We're having an internal discussion about potentially adding another tab that's just called Network. And that would then take all the timeline ones that are just network and put them in one spot. I'm for it. Other people at InfiniRed are against it. So I just keep putting in my oar.
That could be useful. That could be useful.
It's a slippery slope, Jamin. Where does it end? Next, you're going to want a separate tab for your async storage calls. You're going to want a separate one for your...
says the person that wants no config files. For your MobX
state tree actions.
Like. I like it. All right.
The last, so there's one more.
Yeah.
And it's the touchables tab, which is, it's not as useful as the inspect tab, but it's useful for really specific cases. It basically just highlights the areas on your screen that are touchable. So it can be helpful if you're having hit slop issues, where like people are tapping on things and it's not registering. You can kind of see like what area is actually touchable. Yeah, so that's there. That's basically what it does.
That's actually very helpful. One thing I learned on a recent client is accessibility requires a certain, even for iOS and Android, each platform, they have a minimum touchable area requirement. I don't remember what it was. I think it's like 52 by 52 pixels. Don't quote me on that. We can look it up easily. But this is very helpful because you can see where the touchable area is, click it, and then look at your inspect, and it'll give you the actual height and width of it. So you can essentially know, like, okay, I don't have a min height, min width on my touchables, and I need to do that. And you kind of get to set it. So this is a cool use case of how touchables and inspect can kind of work together to make sure that you are accessible while also figuring something else larger out.
So moving to the next thing on the dev menu, there's a configure bundler on iOS. It's also called change bundle location on Android, because why not? It's really mainly necessary if you are trying to run more than one React Native app at a time, because you may need to change where it's grabbing the bundle from. And on iOS, it pops up a dialogue that gives you three separate inputs, one for the address, one for the port, and one for the file entry point. And on Android, it's just one text field, which is just the address colon port. We're going to be doing a future episode, probably an R&R Explains, about Metro. And when we do that, this is going to make a little more sense if you're not familiar with Metro and how it works.
I've used this in the past on brownfield apps where you have multiple different React Native instances running in the same app. So you have to run them at the same time. I have to choose a different port for one of them, or like we're a consultancy and you may be working on two different projects at the same time. Like you have to change the port in order to run two. So that's what that's mostly for.
I use this often. It's weird. I didn't think I would use this. I use this quite a bit. Like I'll be working on a client project and then I need Ignite up to compare something, for example.
Wonder if you could also like run a React Native app against a remote server. I'm pretty sure this is what Expo does with their custom dev Expo client, help. Where you scan a QR code and it's customizing the URL that it points mm-hmm. to the bundle to some remote IP.
I'm sure there's a way to do React Native start with the port specified in yes, that mm-hmm. command.
There is.
So that's basically essentially what
there is.
This is doing, but this is the manual way of doing it.
Yep.
Now, there's another option, not to be confused with the perf tab.
In the inspector.
In the inspector, but it's show perf monitor.
Now, this is the actually useful performance tool in the dev menu.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I would recommend having up most of the time. Like, especially
especially if you're doing really intensive like animations or UI work.
It'll show your RAM usage. There's a section for JSC, which doesn't apply if you're using Hermes. Hopefully we can get some information from Hermes at some point. There's a views column that also is useful. You want to keep the number of views lower, especially if you are rendering a lot of views that aren't even being shown. This happens actually quite often in tab situations where you're tabbing between different tabs. And you kind of do want to keep those views open because, you know, you don't want to have to reload that page every time you get back there. Then there's also two graphs. One is a UI thread graph and one is a JavaScript thread graph. If at all possible, you want to keep the UI thread graph pinned at 60, you know, 60 FPS, like keep that buttery smooth UI. The JavaScript side runs in a different thread. And that can dip from time to time, but you don't want it to be consistently low or it will start affecting other parts of your app. But that's a JavaScript frame rate.
Dropping like 5 is probably on the UI also is not, probably a user won't notice it. Mm-hmm. I know there've been a couple Twitter debates about dev seeing it versus user interaction and all that kind of stuff. But being honest, like it dropping to 55 while you're doing a complex animation, as long as the animation is smooth, the user won't notice it. So
if you hear people talking about, dropping frames, this is what they're talking about.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can also click on it on this little tab that shows up to get other stats. Script download, execution, native module init, main thread stats. TTI, I believe, is also on there. So
root view TTI. Yep, there it is.
Yeah. So a lot of information is on here. So maybe this is another R&R Explains episode. Wow. One episode just keeps stemming other episodes. It's
like a I know. We tried to keep this as narrow as possible. Just the dev menu. I thought this was going to be like a 10-minute episode, and there's so much to this. So moving to the next thing, this is actually only on Android, but there's a settings button, just settings.
And this is, honestly, I've been doing this for 7 years, never opened this screen. So don't feel bad if you didn't know about this. I think it's a lot of more advanced stuff.
Yeah, and like you can turn on and off JS dev mode, JS minify mode, so that will basically reload from your bundle with minify equals true or minify equals false.
Oh, that's going for back debugging just to, verification issues. To talk about the dev mode for a second. If you don't realize, that's the __ dev global variable that you see within your code and you use to like gate your console logs or whatever stuff you only want in dev. You can toggle that on and off to see what your code does in a non-dev environment using this menu.
And note that there's sort of like two environments happening here. There's the JavaScript dev mode, but then there's also the like the native dev mode. You know, so just keep in mind that the those things won't match up when you toggle this on and off. And you'd have to actually build it for release to get like the real full
thing. Yes.
That's a good point. I was gonna say, yeah, don't make any final calls based off of that toggle because it's not true production.
But if you want to keep a lot of your dev tooling while seeing what your code does when it's run.
Even third party apps will run against that. Like third party apps that have a dev guard around some code that, you know, it'll, depending on if that's on or off, it'll execute that way. So you do get like a, how does my code run if I'm not in dev mode? That's really it.
Right. You'll still be able to open your dev menu and you'll see Redbox errors, I believe.
Yeah, right.
There's also an animations FPS summaries, which essentially will pop up. If you're debugging Android animations, it will pop up like a toast and log out some debug information about the FPS during the animation transition, which is useful, like I said, for figuring out why your animations are maybe, or which animations are potentially hanging up. There are a few other settings on here. We're not going to go into it because they're very niche things. You can definitely dig into it if you want and see if it's something for you. But we haven't had to touch this in like 8 years of React Native development. So doubtful you will need to as well. Famous last words. Right?
We're going to get so many angry tweets.
Then there's a really interesting one here. Because of the timing of where we are in the React Native world and evolution, it says open debugger, or it might say open debug, or it might just say debug. But the question is, what does this button do? What debugger is it opening? Because we're in this big transition period with debuggers. Flipper's going away, remote JS debugging is going away, there's a new experimental debugger, there's an Expo VS Code extension, and there's a lot more stuff going on. So on a 0.73 app, which is, you know, sort of current, open debugger tries to open Flipper. But if it's not installed, it will just, it'll just like log a warning to the terminal. On iOS, there's also an open React DevTools, which I would think it would try to open the standalone React DevTools client, which we should also talk about in a React Native, in an R&R explains.
Episode 20.
Spinning off more. Yeah. But it doesn't. It also tries to open Flipper.
Oh my God.
But the React DevTools extension within Flipper. So
we could change this open debugger/debug to Flipper.
Kinda, yeah. But then that's going to change in future ones, I'm sure. Exactly. It'll be the new debugger, which is, you know, hopefully coming.
It's a bit of a tangled mess, which is a blunt way to put it, but it's true. And they're working on it. They really are. Like, that's one of the things that they're actively doing. But we're not going to go too far into it because it's pretty tangled.
Oh, by the way, what do you think this does on Android?
Well, I'm running a 72 app right now, and it's not even there. There is no debugger in the native menu.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. In the expo menu, there's an OpenJS debugger option, which
probably the Chrome.
Yeah, it opens one, Chrome.
The old one.
Yeah.
Anyway, this stuff's all going to get resolved later.
Yeah.
Okay, a few honorable mentions. There's a toggle slow animations, which is Android only for
reanimated. So it only shows up if you have reanimated installed.
Right, which Ignite comes with by default. You can also do custom dev menu actions. I think this is kind of fun. You can go in there and add your own menu items.
We use this a lot. I use it for like storybook or like component demo screens.
And it runs like the code right in your JavaScript process. So this can be very useful. I mean, like you said, you know, storybook. There's a few different ways to add them. Built in, there's like devsettings.addMenuItem. You can also add React Native dev menu. Not really sure what it does differently. This is about 4 or 5 years old. Maybe it predated the dev settings add menu item method, but that's dev menu dot add item. And then there is an expo dev menu, which allows you to register dev menu items and then you pass an array with all the different items, and you just give it a name and a callback, and you can run any code you want there. So, whew, okay, that was longer than I expected. I thought this was a 10-minute episode. Definitely, we didn't even get into everything in the dev menu. Please let us know on Twitter, email. On Twitter, we're at ReactNativeRDIO. If you want to email us, rnradio@infinite.red. Let us know what you think of this new R&R Explains, what, you know, whether it's useful. If you have ideas on specific things, don't be like, hey, tell me how, you know,
React Native works.
React Native works. that would be a little too big of a topic. We want stuff that's really specific, like what we kind of mentioned during this episode. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Robin, do you have a mom joke to take us out?
I do. This one is courtesy of Frank Calise, who's our favorite Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the Italian chef that died?
No.
You can only live so long.
I get it.
All right, we'll see you all next time.
As always, thanks to our production team with editor Todd Wirth, our assistant editor, this guy, Jed Bartoski, our director of marketing and episode release coordinator, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Our producer and host is Jamin Holmgren, and executive producers and hosts are Robin Hines and Mazen Chami. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/ReactNative. A special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe to React Native Radio wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think.